This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jimmy Langan with you on this Monday, and we have a lot to talk about. A lot of things have been going on. Of course, we're coming off the state girls basketball tournament, getting ready for the state boys basketball tournament. Nebraska had their first practice under Coach Mike Riley, and we will talk to Sean Callahan coming up in our next segment about that. And the Nebraska men's basketball season is one game away from being over, or so it would seem. If they beat up on Penn State Wednesday, then they get to play again on a Thursday, but does anybody care? That's the problem. Does anybody care? That's a spot that you never want to be in athletics, is where that last game of the season means absolutely nothing. The Huskers had a chance, because of some help yesterday from Penn State, to make last night's game mean something. And I think if we were looking for just a sliver of hope that this Nebraska men's basketball team could find just any magic, and I just mean win a couple of games, win the game last night, then they play Indiana, and then they would have gotten Maryland again. And if they win last night, they're 1-1 with Maryland. That's the best team that they could have matched up with. And you could have seen some positives come out of that deal. But because they lost, not only did they not get a bye, they have to play in that that game that shouldn't even be played. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you. And, Jimmy, I want to start there. It's unfortunate. Again, we've kind of talked about this. We thought Nebraska was overrated at the beginning of the season. I didn't think they were this overrated. But I am not a fan of these Wednesday games that the Big East, which is now whatever it is, the ACC, you know, when you get these mega conferences and you went from 12 to 14 to 16 teams and you want every team to play in the postseason conference tournament, now they play these double byes and all that. I hate this format. What do you think? Does everybody deserve a chance? I mean, I see what they've done to try and make it extremely hard for anybody that went 4-12 in the conference or 4-14 in the conference to win the tournament. But I'd rather they just weren't in the tournament than be playing the way that they have to play.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the thing I look at is, I think you have to, if you've got a program and you've got a young team, you know, sophomores, and you're trying to build your program up, I think you want to go ahead and play in these. I think you got to do something to do that. Doug, you know, there's a program in Colorado, and you mentioned this is a heck of a story. Colorado Springs, I used to referee them in the RMAC, and, I mean, I don't think they ever won. They were really struggling. And they went, in 2013, they went 5-21. Well, in 2015, they turned this program, they're 26-5. They're in the tournament. You know, so what a huge turnaround. And I believe, and Doug, you can help me with this. One of the teams in the Big East, I think, was the 10 seed and ended up winning the tournament and then won the NCAA tournament. Now, this wasn't a huge surprise because this team was on the bubble, but I think they won the whole ball of wax. It could have been St. John's, but I think it was UConn. Yeah.
It was Connecticut. They were a 9 seed.
Okay.
And had to win an amazing amount of games to make the run through, I believe, if my recollection
I think that's right. And I think, you know, it gives you an opportunity. There's been some teams, too, in the Southeastern Conference that have got second. They didn't win the whole tournament, but they got themselves in a position where they were just one game away.
But even a 9 or a 10 is different than a 13, a 14. I just think that's even farther down. I mean, your 13s and 14s won two games in the conference. And I just, it's, you've set it up where it's impossible for them to win the whole thing. So what's the point? I guess that's what I'm saying is, what's the point?
Yeah, I guess the only thing I can think of is the fact that, hey, you know, you've got everybody at least has one last chance to have that opportunity to play. It's unlike football. You know, football, you've got to win seven games to be bowl eligible, you know. And so I can understand what you're saying, Doug, but I guess, you know, if we're talking about it, I'm going to say, hey, give everybody a shot and give them one last chance. But there are plenty, let's be honest about that, there are plenty of high school teams that are the 4 and 5 seeds that go to sub-district basketball and have no chance to beat the one seed. You know, I mean, there's no possible way they could play many times. But there's other times where they do have an opportunity. And so I don't want to be that guy that says, hey, we're going to stop this. I'm thinking, hey, you know what? Hey, if they think they have an opportunity, that's good enough for me. Let's give them a shot and see what happens.
Doug and Daddy Show, as we get ready for this Monday edition of the program, you can always email the Debt Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. You can always tweet us at ESPN1460-1550. And, of course, the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line is 888-455-3776. And I think just kind of maybe wrapping up the talk on Nebraska basketball here for a minute on the men's side is that you just, again, watch that game last night. Watch the team play hard. And I don't think that's ever been a problem. They play hard, but, boy, when you don't score, and it wasn't last night, but in most of the games where they lost, when you don't score for 6, 7, 8 minutes and can't get a bucket, you are going to lose your attitude a little bit. And they have played hard. And then last night, you just saw when Nebraska was up 5 points, what was it, 48-43, and Maryland scored 10 points like in 4 seconds. And, I mean, it wasn't like they weren't all contested threes. They had a kid that doesn't shoot a three, hit a three. And everything that went their way last year, it's hard to believe that absolutely everything evened out this year, because I don't remember them really catching much of a break at all during any of these stretches, or they would have at least won a game during this 8-game losing streak.
Yeah, it's the offense, Doug. Let's really be honest. The defense was okay. It was adequate. They weren't great on defense, but they gave themselves a chance to win. But, boy, when they got the ball, I mean, there was absolutely one of the worst offenses. And let's be honest about it, one of the worst we've seen, even at Nebraska. And Nebraska's had some teams over the years that haven't been very good in men's basketball, and they were very poor on the offensive end.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that we kind of thought this was coming a year or two ago, and it happens here. So we'll see what the future is for this program. I mean, they've got most of these guys back. It's going to be a hard lesson to learn. They're bringing in some really good recruits. This is supposed to be maybe the best recruiting class of all time for Nebraska men's basketball, which isn't saying a whole lot, but it still is all time. So we'll see what the future is like for the Big Red. State basketball, and we're going to talk a little boys basketball on the program today. Tino Martinez is going to join us to talk about Central Catholic. I think we've got some unique matchups here and some tough matchups for our area teams. But let's go back and look at the girls' state tournament. The final rankings are out today. Not a lot of major surprises there, but a couple of oh-so-closes on Saturday. What an unbelievable start for St. Cecilia against Crofton. I mean, to shut them out in the first quarter, that is incredible. I think that is as big of a feat as Norfolk winning 2 games in Class A. Norfolk's going to get the story, but to shut out Crofton, I mean, how is that even possible? And then you saw, and I joked about it a couple of times, Jimmy, those championship games, especially the early ones on Saturday, maybe there is something to what's going on at Pinnacle Bank Arena, because those teams were having trouble scoring as well.
Yeah, you know, that's funny about the scoring point of it. I think you get to a certain point where in girls' high school basketball, a lot of the scoring is done on transition layups, where there's steals and the other team goes in, and there's a lot of one-on-none, three-on-one layups. And then they also get some good open looks from three-point land all season long, because, you know, you can get it inside and get it back out, and there were some better looks. But when Kearney Catholic and Pierce played and St. Cecilia and Crofton played, those four in Class C, boy, there were not a lot of great looks. People did step up and make some shots, but you there were not open, wide shots that people are just missing. And so take your hats off to St. Cecilia. They came in there. Crofton was one of the top teams in the state. One of the top, I think, ranked. What are they ranked, Doug, finally?
Well, they put them third all class.
They put them third all class, you know. And a lot of it had to do with the way St. Cecilia played them. Because if Crofton plays like they did all year long, they might have ranked them a little bit higher even. But hats off to St. Cecilia. And then St. Cecilia in the third quarter gave themselves a great opportunity to win when they came out and shot the ball so well. I'm not 100% on this. I'm just going to make a comment. But I do think, Doug, that Crofton was one of the better teams ever in Class C1 or C2. And St. Cecilia played them as smart as they could and gave them that opportunity to win. They weren't going to beat them one out of two times. They had that one opportunity, and there it was. But Crofton's defense just causes so many trouble for you, and they generate their offense.
Yeah, interesting state tournament, some good performances all along, but the offense did struggle, and obviously when you Kearney Catholic just 13% in the first half of their game, and it wasn't like they were taking horrible shots. Some of them just don't fall. It was interesting because there was in the C1 game and in the B game, the winner actually shot the ball way fewer times than the loser. And Norris shot the ball, which is hard to believe that the slowdown pace that they played, and Pierce shot the ball half as many times in the first half, and it just showed, you know, I don't know exactly what it showed. It showed good defense by the teams that lost, and it just showed that their offensive putbacks weren't even going in for them.
Yeah, you know, with Kearney Catholic down the stretch, one thing in that game, Doug, was they did everything correct. Kearney Catholic in the last couple minutes did not do anything incorrect, but they needed a little bit of help. They needed Pierce to miss some free throws. And nobody's free throw defense is any better than anybody else's. Let's be honest about that. I don't care where you're at. Sometimes you just luck out and people miss the front end of a 1-1. Or sometimes you don't luck out and they make both free throws, you know. So that was one of those deals where Pierce knocked down some free throws, and that really cost Kearney Catholic down that last, you know, the last 15 seconds.
Well, and your thoughts on this too, Jimmy, because in college, in the NBA, with all the coaches that you have and all the scouting that you can do and having some time between games, or at least if you don't in the NCAA or a conference tournament, even in the NCAA, you get a day off to prepare, but you're working overnight. At the high school ranks, how many times do you actually scout out who the best and worst free throw shooter is on the other team? You may have an idea of that game, and you may have, in this day and age, now that you can, for the most part, go to a max preps or something like that. But even in the program, it doesn't have free throw percentage. So, and you don't practice a lot trying to make sure that the right person gets the inbounds pass. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
Pierce, that Solotric girl, she was their best free throw shooter, and she got the ball in those last two situations, and she hit all four of them. She wasn't a scorer the rest of the game. She was in the first two rounds, but not in that ball game. Of course, really, who was a scorer? And it's just one of those things that's hard to work on, I think, at the high school level, because A, you probably don't know who exactly you want at the line, and B, you've got so many other things you're trying to do getting back into the ball game that's not one of the things you're thinking about or practicing or trying to adjust to.
Well, you're definitely right. In the NBA, there are so many games that are decided by 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, that everybody knows who the best free throw shooters are. In fact, they know who the best free throw shooters are the last 4 minutes, because there's different stats for that. There's guys that are pretty good free throw shooters, but they're not very good in the last 10 seconds of a game. That's who you want to foul. That's the guy you get. But unfortunately, in high school basketball, look at Kearney Catholic. How many 40-point games did they have? Kearney Catholic, all year long, how many times were they behind? You know, so they were in a situation that they normally aren't in, and that is that they're behind, and now they got to foul. One thing about it in high school, if you're 10-10, you know how to do both. You know how to win close games. You know how to lose close games. You know who to foul. You know whatever. And I'm pretty sure that these coaches down the stretch, I'll bet you St. Cecilia had a scouting report on Crofton 3 months ago. And I'll bet you Crofton had one on St. Cecilia. They better, because that's the two teams that were probably going to be in the finals. So I'll bet you they knew everything about everything so well, because they didn't have to worry about some of the teams in their area, because they were quite a bit better than them. But Kearney Catholic and Pierce, I'm going to say the same thing. They played each other enough in the last 3 years that they kind of know who's what and which girls they wanted to foul. Unfortunately, Pierce knows who they want to get the ball to. So Kearney Catholic has to foul the girl that probably has the ball. And so, you know, that's a dilemma that, you know, it's really hard to do, is to stop the other team from getting the ball to the player that they want to give it to.
Well, and one thing that did not lack from any of the area teams that I saw, and that was effort. There was never any give up in any of them, even Kearney High. What a game that they played in the first round. And, of course, that'll get overshadowed by everything else that's going on. So, great game by them coming up just short in the last minute of the contest. I know they would have liked to snap that streak, where it's been a long time since they've won. The program has won a game at the state tournament. So congratulations to all those that were able to make it down. And now we get ready for the boys. Coming up, Tino Martinez is going to join us in the second half of the program. But we're going to talk a little Huskers with Sean Callahan of Husker Online. So stay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store located at 2608 East 32nd Street, Suite C. NMC Cat Rental is your partner for backyard projects to the largest construction site. Stop in on Friday, March 13th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for the grand opening. Hope to see you there. Visit online nmcrental.com or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com, 855-NMC-RENT.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly sunny skies will stay with us through the day today as we head up to about 62. Winds out of the southwest remain at 10 to 15. Now with clear skies tonight, we'll head back to 32, followed by a high of 68 Tuesday. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 43.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug and Jim Langan with you on this Monday. And farmers, don't forget that the 2015 irrigation season is fast approaching. So find out why so many growers are moving to T&L's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems. T&L's superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of T&L's hydraulic design are just a few of the reasons why you should have a T&L in your field in 2015. Contact your local T&L dealer or visit the website TLIRR.com to learn why T&L irrigation systems are like no other. T&L, strong like the Huskers and strong in your field for 2015. Doug Duden, Jim Langan with you, and we're pleased to welcome in our buddy Sean Callahan, who's witnessed the first practice of the Mike Riley era. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How's it going, buddy? How was your tour? You wrapped it all up. You came through, and now we're back to, I don't know, real work. The tour is a lot more fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it was fun. I did a final event in Bellevue, and everywhere I went, I mean, it was amazing, the excitement and the renewed interest. Just everywhere I went, from McCook to Kearney to Bellevue, I mean, all around the state, I think people are excited, and there's kind of a renewed energy looking forward here to this season.
Was there a common, besides the energy, was there a common theme, a thread, maybe a question? What was the most curiosity about when you went through Nebraska that week?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, I just think there's an interest level of kind of to get to know who these new guys are and what they're going to do and kind of what makes Mike Riley tick. I think people just are really anxious to kind of learn more about this guy because, you know, we haven't really experienced him much yet. And finally on Saturday, we got him at a practice for the first time to see what he could do with a team. And I think each practice we're going to learn more about what they do and kind of the culture he wants to build here.
Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, the one thing I look at is this is twofold, but I think that the optimistic person has got to think that here's a coach that did not have a lot of talent at Oregon State, had to go into most games as the underdog in that conference. You're playing Oregon, you're playing USC, you're playing Stanford. His talent wasn't quite as good as the other coach's talent. So therefore, he had to learn a lot of things and how just to get a first down, how to just kind of keep the momentum, what to do. And so a lot of coaching things he had to do because he did not have as much talent. Now at Nebraska, he maybe will have the most talent going into some of these games. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that is different because he's never been a guy that has had those recruiting advantages. And no, there aren't necessarily great recruiting advantages as far as location in Nebraska, but the tradition and the history and the facilities and the resources are things he's not had before. But, you know, people forget, I mean, Mike Riley 2 years ago had Oregon State number 7 in the country in basically November. And they lost to Oregon and they lost that bowl game to Texas. But, you know, they weren't that far away from winning the Pac-12. And in 2012, I mean, they were right there, even though, as you mentioned, their talent wasn't quite at the level, but they've been known as great evaluators and great developers. And I think that is, at a place like Nebraska, you have to have those traits as well as recruiting. And you know, I think that's what's intriguing, to see what he can do as far as developmentally goes. You know, what's he going to get out of some guys maybe that we hadn't seen before? I mean, I think there's going to be a couple of guys that will emerge from this spring that maybe we didn't know about last year, and that's why this practice structure he's put together is in place, and it should be interesting to watch.
What do you think about that? That was the thing that raised my ears up Wednesday when he said he was going to split the practices up, making it a lot of work for the coaches.
Yeah, it was a long day. I mean, we got out there a little before 10, like 9:45 or so, and the second practice didn't wrap up until probably 1:15. So it was a long, long day at the stadium for the coaches and the players and the media. But, you know, I think that's what spring football is. I mean, spring football is about long days at work. It's about developing players. It's not glamorous. It's blue-collar grinding and seeing what you have and trying to make other guys better. And that's why this is in place. Now, I would be surprised if this carried much further past the first 2 weeks. They'll do 8 practices here before spring break. I'd imagine those final 6 practices before the red-white game, maybe they'll change it up. But, you know, these first 2 weeks, it almost works out perfect having this time to do it before the players go off to spring break.
Talking with Sean Callahan of Husker Online here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Just the vibe, the feel, for those that weren't there, which it sounds like they had good contingent of non-media there kind of watching practice on Saturday. Explain it to those that weren't able to attend.
I mean, there's just an overall general curiosity. You know, I think people are very curious to kind of follow and watch things and see kind of how it played out. And it was kind of like being a kid at the first day of a new school. You didn't know anyone. You didn't know your way around the building yet. Everybody was just kind of exploring and watching and, you know, learning the new way. And He had guys like Milt Temiper there, Dean Steinkuhler, which I've never seen Dean Steinkuhler at practices before. He rarely came around in the time I've been around the program in 16 years. So, you know, it was a mix of former players and obviously lots of media. But it was great to see, and I'm excited to kind of, you know, watch this thing build.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Okay, hey, Sean, I'm in Kearney and Doug's in Lincoln, so you know what? That's one reason we'll have a little delay here. But, Sean, do you think Mike Riley will do a type of an ownership move here? I'll give you an example. When Frank Solich was coaching, he had Eric Crouch and Bobby Newcomb, and he couldn't decide who the quarterback was going to be. He'd play one, and they'd play the other, and then he'd go back and forth, and it wasn't working out very well. So finally, Bobby Newcomb ended up at wingback flanker, and Eric Crouch was the quarterback. Will he make a switch with the player? Will he have somebody that's playing like a defensive back and say, hey, you know what, you're in the wrong spot, you're going to come over to the offense, and we're going to put you at a wideout or something like that? You expect him to make one of those big moves here in the next 3 or 4 days?
Well, they made some early ones already with Freedom Akamundum putting him to defensive end from tight end, and Luke Gifford went to linebacker from safety. But I don't know. It's way too early to say. You know, I don't see any of the quarterbacks moving positions, that's for sure. I mean, I think all those guys are – that's their natural spot right now, and I can't imagine them moving any of those guys around. But never say never. I think, you know, there's a lot of different things they can do combination-wise and moving guys around. And Mike Riley at Oregon State, he was a big guy at recruiting quarterbacks and then moving them to other positions. Like he, you know, DeMorne Pearsonell was a high school quarterback, and, you know, he moved obviously to receiver at Nebraska, but he played receiver in high school too. I mean, those were the type of players that Mike Riley liked to recruit. You know, guys that were versatile that can be moved around because it gives you more options.
Sean Callahan with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as the Huskers will be back on the practice field today. The guys we're talking about terminology and getting all that down. How long do the coaches hope that takes before they can move on, and how big of a obstacle, I guess, is that for the guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, just learning the new terminology, it's like learning a new foreign language. I mean, that's the biggest analogy I've heard, or the best analogy I've heard is, you know, it's like going from a different language. And offensively, I think it will be a much more complex system, and that will be, you know, the biggest change for these guys is moving into this more of a pro-style type system. Now, defensively, you keep hearing how it's going to be simplified. So it will be interesting to see, you know, how they build this and what they put in, and you know, how they evolve the offense to fit Nebraska's personnel. And that's what Mike Riley has continued to say. We're not going to just jam this thing in and force an offense that doesn't work. We're going to try to build it around the players that are here.
Sean, we had a little bit of a gauge here of the guys that just aren't going to practice this spring, but please start with Zach Stirrup because he's from obviously our area, and we want to talk about him in Hastings. And as far as any of the guys that won't go this spring, where are the biggest concerns?
Well, I think David Santos, you know, he's going to be limited with that knee injury that he had. Michael Rose practiced yesterday, that was big, but you mentioned Zach Stirrup being out. You know, Ryan Reeves is still kind of working his way back into the mix. You know, he missed the end of the season last year. You know, Adam Taylor is back, though, after last year. Jamal Turner is another guy coming back off an injury from a year ago. So, you know, there's a few guys like A.J. Natter and some other people like that, but nobody too wholesale other than, you know, a guy like Stirrup who you'd like to see out there as one of your right tackles or left tackles and going through spring ball. But because they need tackles. I mean, tackle, I think, is one of the bigger questions. They want to get solidified. You know, Alex Lewis returns and Givens Price. But, you know, Stirrup, you'd like to see what he can do with a new staff, and hopefully he'll be healthy and ready to go when it matters.
I noticed one of the things that they come out of this is we talked last year about technology and the advancement of some of the things, and Coach Riley's using social media, but as far as on the field, they've got microphones in the helmets. What are some of the other nuances that are going to be part of spring and eventually fall ball?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything really more than the microphones. I mean, last year, and you know, it was those body suits they wore that gave them all these technical readings and whatnot. But, you know, I think strength and conditioning, they've made some advancements and changes in some of the things they do. You know, I don't know if it's as wholesale as people have made it out to be, but they're definitely doing some different things in that department. And I think the players have really bought in and like some of the new things they're doing to kind of help them become more athletic and whatnot. But, yeah, I don't know of anything else really other than the microphones. I'm sure we'll kind of keep learning about those things each day when they come out to practice.
Jimmy, anything else?
You know, the only comment I'm going to make here is the fact that, you know, his record 0-0, and right now when I look at this state, boy, everybody wants it to turn around, but everybody's cautiously optimistic. And what's your feeling when you go out through the state? Because all I do is talk to people in Kearney basically about this.
Yeah, I think people, like you said, I mean, they just want to be a team that can contend to win the Big Ten more than anything. You can't really talk about the next step until you start playing for Big Ten titles. And, you know, Nebraska last year wasn't really – they were picked third in that division, and they finished third. I mean, people want them to be a team that wins the division. They should be able to beat teams like Wisconsin and Minnesota based on the facilities and the resources and the things that Nebraska has here. And, you know, I think that's the goal. I mean, they've got to get back to the Big Ten championship game and get a shot. I mean, you can't win a conference title until you get back to that title game. And I think that's where it all starts, if I'm Mike Riley, is win that division and give yourself a chance to win the conference. And, you know, you never know what happens in a one-game scenario when you play on Ohio State or someone like that.
And, Sean, I know we talked about it when you were in the Tri-Cities because we have walk-on kids from this area. Has there been any movement in the walk-on coordinator or the replacement of Jeff Jamrog?
You know, I haven't heard anything official. There was a guy at practice that was Mike Riley's running backs coach at Oregon State, and I think he will be joining the staff in some capacity. I don't know what his title will be. His name's Chris Brassfield, who was a top recruiter at Oregon State, and you know, he was at practice in full official Adidas gear. They have not announced him and what his title would be, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's that guy. I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting, though, if they went with a guy like that, because you kind of got the impression it would be a familiar name, somebody with some connections to Nebraska. So it will be interesting to see what Chris Brassfield's title will be, because he is clearly at practice and a part of the staff on Saturday. He was there standing right next to Mike Riley for a lot of the practice.
Hey, now, go ahead, Jimmy.
Okay, Sean, I was going to say, hey, with the media and the way that Mike Riley has tried to make these practices open and everybody feel good, does he talk? Does he come around and go out of his way to talk to media sometimes right after practice or before practice or even maybe during a break?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, coaches are pretty focused during practice. I mean, they're. But, you know, on the sidelines, I mean, I know the strength coach Mark Phillip was visiting with people, and, you know, it's just great to get out there and meet some of these faces because we haven't done that in general. But, you know, Riley's the type of guy that will say hi. But when they're coaching football, I mean, he's coaching football. But I did like what they did after practice. Instead of having all the cameras jammed up in his face, they set up a little area with a table and a malt board, so all the cameras could be on their tripods, and it was a much more conducive post-practice interview with Coach Riley because we were all shoved around him with 50 people, which is pretty unrealistic. So they tried to improve the post-practice setup a little bit for the media because there's so many of us there every day now that they kind of worked a little bit on the fly to come up with a better scenario so everybody could get their cameras set up without shoving each other out of the way.
Yeah, amazing that it took so long to figure that out. But, Sean, hey, thanks for the time, man. What are you looking forward to as you head to practice today?
Just to see we don't get to watch today's practice.
Oh, right.
Wednesday's
right.
Our next one we get to watch. So we'll talk defensive coaches. It'll be interesting just to talk to the defensive coaches about kind of the philosophy of what they're putting in and what they've seen from the players and they like so far.
All right, Sean. Hey, we'll keep up to date with you. And, of course, the Big Red Report's every morning here on ESPN Radio. Sean, thanks for the time, man.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Sean Callahan of Husker Online joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, again, Jimmy, I'm in a bad spot here. I'm going to need your counseling. I'm going to need your help because I knew what I was going to see, but again, being here in Lincoln, picking up the Journal Star, the World Herald, reading them, looking. I mean, there's so much already after the first practice over the Huskers. How much can they jam down our throats? I mean, you can't know on day one all that these guys seem to want to know. You can't. You know what I'm saying? I mean, my goodness, we're here on March, the first practice of the season on March 7th, and, you know, okay, we're going to talk about it for the next 6 months, but we already know what's going to happen.
You know, Doug, I think what happened here, and let's be honest about it, is when you watched Coach Pelini's sideline demeanor during games, he was very mean and rude and maybe one of the worst in the nation. I mean, not maybe. He was one of the worst in the nation at the way he acted on the sidelines when we were losing and things were going bad. I have no idea how he treated everybody else. I have no idea. But I can tell how he treated the media. And he was very rude to the media. If they challenged or questioned or asked him a question about, hey, you know, what happened here when we gave up 47 straight points in one game? What's your answer to this? And then he'd come back and he'd write something. It did not go very well. It was not a good rapport when those things happen. And I think that's a lot of it. Those guys are still got the pen, and they're writing. They can write, and they are happy. There's a switch. That's my opinion. What's yours?
Well, now you're talking game. I'm going to talk practice. I'm going to talk 98% of the time. He answered the questions at practice as long as the guys wanted to ask. Sometimes the session went 4 minutes. Sometimes it went 10. Now you can't talk to Bo five times a week for 20 minutes at a time because that is just. You know, that's BS. I mean, the media would sit there and do that, but you can't expect that out of any coach in any sport.
I agree.
In Nebraska, all coaches are becoming more available, and they're putting it up on Huskers.com, and you're seeing, you know, even for the basketball teams, we didn't used to have pregame press conferences. About the only time that you got to see the coach was after a home game. So during those sessions, so Bo and Coach Riley will probably be the exact same way as far as availability. But on Monday, you had the weekly press conference there in Lincoln at Memorial Stadium. On Tuesday, you had him on the Big Ten conference. And then there was twice a week during practice week, and one of them was usually Friday or the last practice before departing. So you had him twice before you went to the game. That's four. Then you had him game day. That's five. I mean, how many times, how much can change that you know if you're any kind of a, well, all these Husker fans, you know when a guy's just asking a question to find a story, and you know when there's actually a story or actually something that's happened, an injury, a transfer, you know, the actual opponent. Because, again, how many times are even opponent questions even asked when you know that it's a team that is less or a three-touchdown underdog to you. So I thought Coach Pelini, in those settings, 98% of the time, was pretty cool. Yeah, once in a while, if you got two or three of the same exact questions over and over, and it was something that maybe he wasn't familiar with or didn't know the answer, there would be a challenge there. But there's difference between intensity, game day coach, and practice coach, don't you agree?
Oh, there is absolutely no doubt. Unfortunately, in this business, when you're at that high level and you're dealing with the public at such a high level, you need to be at your best is sometimes when it's the worst situation. Under the worst situation, that's when you need to be your best. And unfortunately, that's not what happened. And let's be honest about that, Doug. There were times where it got extremely explosive. When we lost to Texas in the Big 12 championship game, there were a lot of things that happened immediately after that game that weren't reported because people were trying to help the situation out. So, you know, I guess my point is that people wanted the change, and that's what it's about. I mean, if you're honest about this, a year ago, you know how many people were talking Nebraska basketball? And they were talking to the head coach, and we were talking about what the program was doing and how excited we are and where we were going to be seated. And we just were on and on and on, and that we couldn't get enough of the head coach. Now, you know, he's nowhere to be found as far as the front page in the media, except for when it's a negative situation. How come we're not scoring, you know?
Well, folks, we're going to talk with Tino Martinez to get our boys' basketball preview started. Steve Sipple is going to join us on tomorrow's show with a little bit more on the Husker football team and maybe a little Husker basketball as well as they get ready for the Big Ten tournament. Great deals are happening now at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Awards season event. Stop into South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or visit them at thinkmidway.com to see up-to-date, hassle-free pricing. Check out the new Chrysler 200 with available all-wheel drive, 295 horsepower, and up to 36 highway miles per gallon. You can lease a new 200 Limited for only $199 a month for 36 months with $2,000 due at signing. No security deposit is required. Tax, title, and licensing fees are separate. See your dealer for details. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. And we'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
You're clear.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
The story behind the Goodwill store. My story is about my daughter, Laura, who lives with a developmental disability. I've seen her learn, grow, and blossom with the help of Goodwill. People living life to the fullest, accomplishing goals, and realizing dreams. What we all strive for. What Goodwill helps people do every day. Donate, shop, be part of the story.
Doing it right makes such a difference. Goodwill.
Life is definitely good for Laura.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
After the storm passes, our job begins. With local claim service, Farmers Mutual Hail will be on the scene fast to evaluate your damage and get you back on your feet. With well over 100 years of financial stability, Farmers Mutual Hail is the calm after the storm. For service, stability, and satisfaction, look for the Cloud and Kroll Agency, your local Farmers Mutual Hail agent. Contact the Kroll Agency in Minden, Kennesaw, Roseland, and Hastings today. Farmers Mutual Hail and Kroll Agency are equal opportunity providers.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Hey, folks, a lot of places say they are a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. One of the reasons, their flame-broiled buffalo wings cooked over an open flame with one of their homemade sauces seared onto the wing to give it that one-of-a-kind flavor, offering home-style pizzas and, of course, quesadillas, burgers, and salads. Also, you can get steaks. You can get the French dip. You can get so many great things off their menu. Don't forget to try their ribs. If you haven't had the ribs at the Coop, it's worth that opportunity to go in and try them. And of course, with basketball time, we are during championship week. All the tournament games are on. You can also watch the NBA, NHL, whatever you want to watch. It's there for you at the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. And Mondays, Coop Koozie. You buy the koozie for $5, all 12-ounce beverages, then fit in that koozie for only $1 a piece. Live to close tonight at the Kearney Chicken Coop. The UNK baseball team is going to add a game against Midland tomorrow. It's supposed to be beautiful weather. get some baseball in. So the Lopers and Midland will play a nine-inning game tomorrow at Memorial Field at 3:30. So if you get a chance, go out and watch them play. And UNK's Paul Jimenez has just been named the Tennis Athlete of the Week. So congratulations there to Jimenez winning the Tennis Athlete of the Week. Boys State Basketball Tournament gets underway this week, and returning to Lincoln for the first time since 2011, the Grand Island Central Catholic Crusaders. And as a head coach for the first time, it's Tino Martinez. Good morning, Tino.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing good. Are you nervous?
No. No, not nervous. I'm probably a little anxious, but not nervous.
Well, of course, Jimmy and I have known Tino for a number of years, and I guess you guys have been down there, been on the bench numerous times, and you're ready to make another run here. We should say congratulations first off, and is the team totally healthy and totally ready to go Thursday?
Yeah, we are. We've been able to get through the season relatively injury-free. You know, we've had some bumps and bruises, as everybody has probably throughout the season, but we're ready to go. We got everybody healthy. We went through the stretches of the season where the cold and flu symptoms were getting us pretty good. But other than those types of things, we've been relatively healthy all year.
Tino, tell us a little bit about your side of the bracket and how it played out with the wild cards and et cetera, and what you think of Shadron.
Well, the bracket on our side, I think, Jimmy, as you well know, having coached in state tournaments before, when you get to the this point of the season, everybody remaining is still pretty good. So, you know, we have probably less familiarity with our side of the bracket. The only team that we've played is Wahoo on our side. The other half, we've had some games with, so we're familiar with the other half of the bracket probably more so than ours. Shadron's, they're a very good team. You know, they spent some time atop, Stu Pospisil's, C1 ratings for, the early part of the year. So, they're very good. They're guard oriented. They're really quick, out front. So it's really going to be a contrast of styles of, you know, they want to rely on their quickness and the pace they want to play. We probably want to, rely on our inside game a little more and maybe make it more of a half-court game. Should be a highly contested game, and, you know, we're looking forward to the opportunity.
Obviously, Tino, everybody wants to know if they've got anybody that can match up with Johanna, and some teams that have nobody that can be that height or that kind of a bulk can do it one-on-one. He gets doubled quite a bit. What about their post game?
You know, they really are maybe play with an open post type of setup. They don't have a lot of size. When I say they're guard oriented, they're really like 5'7", 5'8", type guards who really get after you with their quickness. But their inside play is more of a 5'9", 6'1" type type of players inside. So I really anticipate. You know, they've played some other teams that we have on film that have some size, and they've done some different things as far as doubling and maybe playing some zone activity there. But I anticipate them paying a lot of attention to Johanna in the paint, and so we've drilled some different things as far as being able to still get the ball inside and having him make smart decisions with the ball as far as when the right time to attack, the right time to pass is. And so I don't think there's one guy on their team that maybe they're going to say you have that one assignment on Johanna. I think they'll do it with a team effort. And so we've tried to prepare for those types of things.
Tino Martinez, the head boys basketball coach at Grand Island Central Catholic, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tino, you kind of touched on it. Is it nice to not be back in the Centennial Conference Tournament? Three of the four teams are on the other side of the bracket.
Well, you know, it is. You know, we've had, and in one sense, you do have some knowledge of how to play those types of opponents. Since, you know, SCOTUS, we've played twice. In one sense, you do know what the other team wants to do and how they want to do it. But in the other sense, those teams obviously are very good, so I think any time you can stay away from a team like Newman and SCOTUS, Fall City, those types of teams. One of our five losses to Lincoln Christian, who, I think looking at their record, people might say they don't belong, but they play as tough a schedule as anybody, and they got a lot of size, so they present a lot of issues for teams, and when they play their 1-3-1, I wasn't shocked at all to see them part of the Final Eight still playing. So, the Centennial Conference, I think, is well represented, obviously, with the four teams in the C1 bracket and then three more in the C2. And it wouldn't shock me a bit to see a Centennial Conference team come out of both of those as state champions. So very well represented on our end, I think.
Yeah, Tino, back to Chatham just real quick. And they played a lot of Class B schools. They played C2 schools and et cetera. Will they full court press you? Will that something you expect to see out of them is a full court press? Or do you think they'll just put some pressure on your guards to try to not be able to make good passes and entry passes?
I think they'll do a little bit of both, Jimmy. They got they have shown both. They do a little diamond press action And I think by far and away, we've played some athletic teams this year and had some good guard play. Newman's guards, they're all three are really quick. I don't think any of the people we've played are as quick and as lightning, just really fast as these three guards that Chadron have. So they are able to apply an extreme amount of pressure on the ball, both by trapping in the full court and then in the half court. They really make it hard for your guards to enter into stuff. It's kind of similar to the way maybe St. Cecilia or even us play defense out top. But I think their guards are able to apply just a little more pressure because they're doing it with guys that are lightning quick, lightning fast, and so that's hard to simulate in practice. But we're doing our best to prepare for that type of pressure.
I think we can put him on the spot one more time here because it sounds like it'll be your post presence against their guard presence because you guys have very similar scores. You have very similar offensive, defensive averages. And you play kind of the same pace. It's just that you do it differently.
Yeah, we really do it a different way. They're kind of the new style of offense, I guess I would call it, in the fact that they do a ton of ball screening and dribble drive stuff. And I guess we're probably more of the motion offense, screening for guys to get open. And we really do want to pound the ball in the paint. I don't think that's a secret to anybody. And so I think you hit the nail on the head, Doug, in the fact that it's going to be, similar styles, but a different way of approaching it. So I guess, the team that's able to get the game more to their style of play, probably is going to come out on top. If we have to try to run up and down the floor and keep up with their guards, that really neutralizes a player like Johanna for us, where if we can keep it more of a attack us in the half court type setting, that allows us to use Johanna as an advantage for us. And so that's definitely what we're going to try to do. I don't think that's a secret to anybody, and so hopefully we're able to do that.
Last minute here with Tino Martinez, Central Catholic boys basketball coach. Tino, especially even here in the postseason, but I think it's a little common throughout the year. You haven't always jumped out of the gate the quickest in the world, but you have found a way to always be steady. And then in the second half, that steadiness or that consistency allows you to come back from short deficits and win basketball games. Is there something you can point to of why that is?
Well, I mean, I think one would be we do play a schedule that challenges us almost nightly. And so I think when we're doing that, and obviously the Centennial Conference is always tough, but when you have to kind of get through there in a year like it is this year, there's just no nights off. And then you sprinkle in, you got Wahoo and different opponents like them in our non-conference schedule. We just have to, we never have an opportunity to be up really big or get out of the gates quickly because, just the caliber of opponents we usually play. So I think having to do that on a nightly basis, I think, prepares us for what we're about to go into. But I think to answer your question maybe a little more specifically, I think our style of play is kind of designed to wear people down, and maybe in the second half we're able to get, you know, a 6-8, 10-point lead. If we're able to knock down free throws, that becomes an advantage to us, just because of the fact that having to deal with a guy like Johanna inside and then also deal with our defensive pressure on the other end tends to wear people down, I think, a little bit, and we like to use that as an advantage to us.
Hey, Tino, your schedule and the conference that you play in, I think it gives you an advantage. Tino, this is not a surprise to you when I'm bringing this up. I mean, last year you coached a baseball team that got beat in the finals by Creighton Prep. A couple years ago, you took a group to North Dakota, even though that wouldn't be a fun trip. I wish they'd have picked someplace else for you to go. But you've had some success. Last year, Kearney Catholic beat you to get to the state tournament. I actually think you got a good chance to win it. I mean, you're not the heavy favorite. There's no doubt at that, but I think you got a shot. So just real quick, Winnebago and Wahoo, tell us just a little bit about that. Give us 15 seconds if you do get by Shadron.
Well, Winnebago is probably the biggest unknown of the tournament, as far as they've only played four or five C1 opponents, so common opponents are just not there for me or other coaches to kind of evaluate. We do got a ton of film. Winnebago can score it in a hurry. They're athletic at all five positions. They have a lot of length. Their starting lineup is 6'3", 6'4", 6'5" across. Their subs come in at those same sizes. So they're a dark horse, I would think. But I think the people in the field are not taking them lightly. It would not shock me for them to still be playing on Friday and Saturday, just because of how talented they are. And then Wahoo, you know, they stumbled a little bit in the sub-district and down the stretch. Jake Sheep did have a bad calf strain that really hobbled him in the district tournament. So by them getting the wild card via the rules of the NSAA for the tiebreaker in that situation really gave them new life and gave him a couple weeks to really heal that up. If he's healthy, they've played in the last three state championship games. They really have that same type of team that could be there in the end again this year. So I think the field is very deep and should be an entertaining state tournament.
Hey, Tino, we will see you Thursday. The game, of course, will be on Classic Hits 98.9 Central Catholic and Shadron at 10:45. Best of luck, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
That is Tino Martinez, head coach, Grand Island Central Catholic. They were the runner-up in 2008. They won it all back in 2000. Again, they seem to be one of those programs, Jimmy, that are always winning, but when you look at their state resume, they have only been to the finals a couple of times, and it's going to be tough to get there just because, as you mentioned, the Centennial Conference teams are on the other side. They've got some good, as always, that C1 field seems to be the toughest to pick.
Yeah, you know what was interesting? Ainsworth and Wahoo tied with a 44.12 average. So those two schools, Ainsworth and Wahoo, came to an exact tie on their wild card points. And what they do, the tiebreakers, whoever plays the most Division I, II teams, and then if that, and then it's you add up the Division II teams, and then you move on. And they Wahoo ended up getting that. With them not being healthy, they're not as great as the other side of the bracket. I actually think GICC is on the correct side of the bracket for them to have a shot. And Shadron lost to Alliance twice and Gearing once, and I guarantee you GICC is better than both of those teams.
Well, and it's too bad that rule that you talk about. I mean, let's face it; it will be more advantageous to be the farther east team in any of those tiebreaker situations, just because the farther west you go, the fewer, in Ainsworth's case, the fewer C1 teams, and there even are to play there. And it's unfortunate for them, but they didn't play very well in the game; they got beat. Now Wahoo, maybe that's an injury that left them out. You feel bad for whoever got left out of the field, because obviously Ainsworth could be there and maybe make some noise, especially since they were the defending state runner-up.
But C2. Right, but thank God they have the wild card, because there are plenty of teams that don't get to go because they stumble one time, and they should be rewarded for having a great season. And I'm glad the NSA continues to have the wild card when they made that switch.
We'll take a break and wrap things up, including getting to Indomicon Sue after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Wakanda Boats is geared up for your 2015 boating season. Bring the family to Republican City March 9th through the 15th for the 2015 Boat Show. See the new lineup of Lund, South Bay, and StarCraft boat packages. Ask Travis or Terry about show specials, factory rebates, and low-rate financing on 2015 boats. Catch the biggest sale promotions of the year on wakeboards, tubes, skis, and other boating accessories. Fishing seminars, prizes, and other sale events. Stop by Wakanda Boats' hometown boat show in Republican City March 9th through the 15th. Or check them out at wakandaboats.com.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Are you being held hostage by today's propane prices? At three times the normal level, you need to call Anderson Brothers and fight back. Both air and water source heat pump designs are available from Carrier. Up to 75% of their energy is from the air and ground around your home. Energy that is both renewable and free to you. Let Carrier technology help you heat and cool your home. Turn to the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating. Call 308-236-6437 or 995-4481 today.
Registration is now open at the Hastings YMCA for Spring Youth Sports. This is a great way to get your child involved in some fun activity and team interaction. The Spring Youth Sports season runs April through May with spring soccer, volleyball, and flag football. Parents who volunteer to coach get free registration for their kid to play. Maximum two children free per team. Contact the Hastings Y today for more information on coaching a team or for registering your youth for spring soccer, volleyball, or flag football. Find out more at hastingsymca.net.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us as we wrap up a Monday edition. Steve Sipple will be among our guests tomorrow, and more on the boys' state high school basketball tournament as the winter sports season is about set to wrap up. And then we jump into the spring, of course, with track and golf, and at least they're getting some really nice days this week to practice. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beers and coolest topics. Major League Baseball season is underway with their spring games. We ask you today at ESPNSuperstation.com, should they consider shortening their regular season from 162 games? Jimmy, what do you think? I mean, the only reason that they wouldn't shorten, everybody would like it shortened, it seems like, that plays the game. But to pay the salaries, you have to have so many games and television contracts. And right now, with the television contracts, they flat out couldn't knock it back without giving some money back. So I don't see it happening in the near future, but it sure would be nice if it happened. 162, that's a lot.
You know, the 162 games has been here for a while, but they used to play quite a few more. I mean, quite a few more doubleheaders. And now doubleheaders are only played when somebody gets rained out or the weather gets horrible the night before, and then they shove it into you. So, yeah, 162 games is long, but they try to do it in 162 days. And, you know, so they don't have any doubleheaders, which really adds on to your season.
Well, vote now. Should MLB consider shortening its regular season? At ESPNSuperstation.com. A lot of things going on in free agency. Of course, here in Nebraska, the biggest story is Ndamukong Suh reportedly going to sign with the Miami Dolphins for $114 million. That's one of those where you just kind of, for me, being a fan, I'm happy for Suh, gets his money. And as far as going to the Dolphins, could be better places, could be worse places. So he'll be in a warm climate at least.
Yeah, that $114 million. That's some good cash, Doug.
But going to Miami, he'll be in a division that's winnable. How good is Miami going to be in the future? Hard to tell, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Some interesting comments if you go to Husker Extra with Steve Sipple today. He does make a couple comments on Ndamukong Suh. He's also got a nice story on Josh Banderas and what's going on with him, who's kind of got pinballed around under the previous staff and never really got a lot of love from the Husker fans because he got thrown into the fire at an early time. Let's take a look at a couple other stories before we wrap it up. The Nebraska and Loper baseball teams played some close games and played a blowout yesterday for UNK, but 3-1 over the weekend, and you'll take that every time.
Yeah, UNK baseball, after losing the first game, came back. They've won 3 in a row, and that was a nice day yesterday, and they won that game quite easily, Doug, 10-0.
And again, as we said earlier, they will have a home game tomorrow at 3:30 against Midland to get some action going. So that'll be tomorrow at 3:30. Also, the Huskers 1-2, Coach Erstad kind of saying we've got to be more focused. Overall, had they lost to Hawaii, it would have been a disastrous weekend. But a 2-1 loss to A&M and a 4-2 loss to LSU, where they definitely had their chances. In fact, they're probably a base hit away from beating LSU yesterday.
Yeah, you know, like you say, though, Doug, is you can't go 2-1 all year long. They're going to have some 1-2s, but that means they need some 3-0s to step it up. They're going to have to get some sweeping done when they get into conference play because they have put themselves in a position here where they just can't go 500 all year long now.
Well, now the weather for the Huskers, again, good week to start at home. If you're coming down for Boise State, the Huskers begin a 16-game homestand tomorrow. So the season gets underway here in Lincoln starting tomorrow. And by here in Lincoln, that's where we will be this week as well. So let's see if the Huskers can get it done. There is so many things that we could cover from the weekend. I know that we jumped all over the board during the show today. Jimmy, anything else you wanted to touch on?
No, I think we did a pretty good job, Doug, of just kind of hem-hawing and going. And, you know, we had our two guys that we interviewed, and I appreciate them being on the show.
Well, here's what John has to say. So with Sue going to the Fish, will that handcuff them down the road? Love it for his take, being a Husker and all. But, wow, that's a lot of cash. I don't think anything handcuffs anybody anymore on contracts in the pros, does it, Jimmy?
I don't think so. The thing that interests me a little bit is that offensive tackles, quarterbacks, and wide receivers seem to be worth a lot of money right now. And then anybody that can rush the passer and anybody that can play defensive back and stop the passing game, those are the guys getting the money. What's interesting about Sue's salary, he's playing a position that normally they don't pay that much, so they wanted him pretty bad.
We've got a couple of college championship games tonight here on ESPN, and we will take you through the week, so stay with us for that. And I guess with that, let's wrap it up, Doug and Daddy's show. On this Monday edition, we do want to thank Sean Callahan of Husker Online for talking about what the opening day of practice looked like under Mike Riley. Grand Island Central Catholic boys basketball coach Tino Martinez for joining us as well. Tomorrow, your first listen to the Cunningham's comedy clip for the week. We'll also have Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star, and more previews on the boys state high school basketball tournament. Jimmy, hey, thanks for the time, buddy.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Hey, yep, take care, Doug.
This is Doug Duda saying thanks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll see you tomorrow.